We are used to hearing that our satisfaction in life, our hope, our joy is to be found in things that are new. Things that are shiny, brand new, and beautiful. You know that you're used to hearing this because you hear it all the time in advertising. I want you to hear some of the repeated phrases, and you can also be guessing when these advertising campaigns might have come from. Take a listen.
Attention, ladies, please. Right now, at the end of aisle two, I've set out a brand new, can't-miss...
A new coffee?
Now, I recommend new...
New?
Sure is. New, brand new.
You are about to know the thrill of seeing that which has never been seen before.
Completely new.
You're about to enter a beautiful, exciting, wonderful new world. The world of 1960.
New, 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 brand new.
A beautiful, wonderful, beautiful, wonderful, beautiful, wonderful, new world of war.
Completely new, completely new.
New?
Brand new.
Can you, well, it said the wonderful world of 1960, but could you figure out where some of those were from? Wonderful wonderful new world of Ford in 1960. There's also a Chevrolet ad there that was completely new, and the other one was for Folgers. And so you get a range from 1936 to 1960. But you, I put that together because I wanted you, right, just how we often we hear this, right? New, new, new. This is where our hope is, something new. New is better. And to this I offer up the John Updike's third stanza in his poem. You've got the whole poem at the end of the bulletin if you want it, but there at the sermon there, you've got the third stanza, and its emphasis is on the same. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. We've been using this poem. John Updike actually wrote it in 1960. I didn't think about that with the wonderful world of Ford in 1960, but he wrote this in 1960. Not always known as a Christian author, and yet here is this reflection on what it means that Jesus rose from the dead. And he's already drawn the line in the sand with his poem, and he has said, if Jesus did not physically rise from the dead, then the church doesn't have a faith to believe in. So he's already said, Jesus has to have risen in body. But now here in stanza three, he's kind of shifting. He's saying, you know, Jesus did physically rise from the dead, but then what kind of rising? What kind of body? What's this? What's the nature of the resurrection? And so for that, stanza three says the same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart. Although the body of Jesus, the heart and the body of Jesus, it's the one that was pierced, it died, it withered, it paused in the tomb. Still, it is the same body. Yes, the resurrected Lord, he regathered out of God's enduring might, regathered to life. It's somehow this new glorified body so that he appears in locked rooms. It's not clear how he can do this. He's got this new strength. And it's making his body to work again, the heart to pump blood and life again. Yes, it is new, and we are promised new life. We are promised new life now in faith and then in the resurrection. But it's not just about new. Back up to the first words of Updike's stanza three. It's same. You see, I think that word same is really important here. It is the same Jesus. When the disciples are out fishing all night and they don't catch anything and they're coming back to shore and they see this guy on the beach and he says, have you caught anything? I think one translation all says, do you have anything to eat? And they're thinking, no, we didn't catch anything. And they don't recognize him as the Lord. And a critic may say, see, it's the spirit of Jesus, but he's got a different body on, and that's why they didn't recognize him. You know, it's like this spirit of the Christ thing, and he had one body, Jesus the Galilean, and then he died, and then the spirit takes up residence in some other body or something. We could get all metaphysical and mythical about this. But that's not what we see here, actually. It's not about just having something brand new, completely different. It's about Jesus having some kind of glorified body and the disciples having trouble believing that they continue to see the risen Lord. They didn't recognize him at first, but not because it was so new, but more just because they didn't realize how could it be that this is the same Lord. How could it be that this is the same Lord that died? How could it be his same hinged thumbs and toes, his same heart that's speaking to us, that's put out a fire, you know, made a fire and spread out some fish and some bread, who's welcoming us? How could this be? In some ways, I think it would be easier for us to believe in the resurrection if it was more like Jesus the Galilean dies on the cross and then his spirit goes and takes up residence somewhere else. I think that might be easier for us to believe because that, you know, kind of works with all our mythical thinking and stuff. But what we actually have is that Jesus appears on the beach and he is the same. He is the same Lord. And I would compare it to when you see somebody from long, long ago, like a long-lost friend, right? And you see each other, but you don't realize it. You've changed a little bit. I don't know. Age does something like that. It changes you. And so you haven't seen this person for a long time, and at first you don't realize it. And then they do something, or they have a facial expression, and you're like, oh, right? That moment of recognition. It's the same person. You didn't recognize them at first, but it's the same person. I'd say that that's kind of like the disciples' experience. They say, oh, it is the same guy. I know those thumbs. It's the same Lord. And that is where our hope is. It's not just in something completely new. It is in having the same Lord. And part of that, it's the hope of seeing that what Jesus has done, but it's also that means that tells us what our hope is for ourselves. Your hope is not to die and then rise again in some sort of mysterious way, your spirit taking up a, you know, in some other body like a genie finding a new lamp. No, you will be raised from the dead. We will be raised from the dead on the last day when Christ returns. We'll be raised physically to live on a physical earth. That's what Scripture says. And it will be you. It will be me. And we will be with the same Lord. Think about it. Jesus, there on the beach. And when Updike says the same hinged thumbs and toes, those same hinged thumbs and toes, those are the ones that Mary kissed, tickled when he was a baby. Same ones. And when the disciples recognized Jesus there in the same person, the same body, it's the same heart there beating in Jesus, the same heart that pumped blood to his forehead and pushed it out like sweat when he was so anguished praying in the garden the night before he was crucified. There is no other Lord. This is the same Lord. So that we realize we too will be raised. Take your thumbs. I won't ask you to get your toes out. Those thumbs will be the same. Now they'll be great. They will be glorified. If one of your thumbs doesn't work or missing a thumb or whatever, I assume you'll be glorified, but it will still be you. The thumbs are a reminder. Your toes are a reminder. It will still be you. Glorified, renewed, no longer sinful, no longer destined to die, no longer broken, but still you. He made you uniquely, and he's going to raise you from the dead because he wants you. You, uniquely you. Not like a generic soul that can go anywhere. No, he made you completely as a package. That's what we've got with Jesus on the beach. That's what we have as our hope, is to have the same Lord and to have our same lives, except resurrected, clothed with gladness, as Psalm 30 says. You know, it's interesting when you realize how important it is to remember that Jesus was raised from the dead physically, and how important it is to remember that it's the same Jesus. When you look at Revelation 5, the reading from today, and all the elders and the angels and eventually all of us will get to gather around and worship Jesus. But notice how Jesus is known. They call him the Lamb. Not just the Lamb, meaning like the Passover Lamb, the one who was sacrificed for our sins. The Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who was killed. The Lamb who was crucified. Now, if God wanted, he could have made Jesus to come back with some brand new body that didn't have any of that. But we see and hear that Jesus still has the scars. And he's still glorified because he's the Lamb who was slain. Glorified because he died for us. He is the same Lord. He carries those marks because that is his glory. And his glory is what brings about your hope of the resurrection. Job said it. I don't know how Job knew this except by the Holy Spirit, but Job said this. He said, "After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another." In other words, Job had this, you know, God-given inspiration to talk about the resurrection in this way. We will see him with our own eyes, with our same hinged thumbs. We'll get to shake hands with the Lord. We will dance on our hinged toes, and our same valved hearts will beat joyously to see the Lord. We will die. Unless the Lord returns before that time, we will die. But the same you, the same me, will get to sing the praises of the same Jesus, the Lamb who was slain. Our bodies will be made new, but today rejoice that it won't be some replacement you. It's who God has made you to be. And there may be plenty of things that you don't like about yourself. There may be plenty of things that you wish were different. Maybe there are things that you feel guilty about or shameful about or something like that. But today, I want you to notice the things that you rejoice in, the things that you are thankful for. God has made you to be you. And he has forgiven your sins, and there will be forgiveness and eternal life. But today, I want you to notice your thumbs or whatever else it is that you rejoice in that will be the same, because it is you. And he wants to raise you from the dead. That's why he raised his son from the dead. Our same Lord, for the same you. Amen.